listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott. Let's begin by invoking our Blessed Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So, today we thought we might talk about the faith and how to teach it. And part of the problem is making its ideas sticky in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a less literate society in many ways than we used to. People tend to get their information from media, videos, the telephone. And so the question is, in an age which doesn't read books less, how do we get people to think of and remember the faith? I mean, you can read the Summa Theologiae, but you know, I'm not sure every idea in the Summa is especially sticky for your mind.
Right.
You know,
right? As a community, we just recently listened to a book, a recorded book called "Made to Stick." It's about how to communicate ideas in a way that they become memorable, that will stick in people's minds. It's a great book. It's by Chip and Dan Heath. It's well worth reading it. And we were listening to it as a Dominican community because we thought this could help us in our work of communicating the faith, of handing on, you know, what we teach through preaching, mm-hmm. you know, through retreats, homilies, parish missions, teaching other people. How can you make these ideas stick? And in the book, it points out that there are some things that are very sticky that get stuck in your mind that mm-hmm. are pretty much useless.
Right.
Or false, or both, you know. Urban legends, annoying tunes that get stuck in your head, you know. Things
but the Germans call an earworm.
That's right.
Like, and gets you in there. And
you just can't get it out of your head, you know. But then, you know, why is it that those useless things stick in your head and you can't get them out? But then the really important things, you know, you can't remember 10 minutes later after you heard them. You know, so we'd like to reflect today on how can we make the faith stick? How can we make it sticky so it sticks in people's minds? Some of the points in the Heath brothers' book was that they did a lot of research. They're both Stanford professors, and they said some characteristics of something that's sticky is that it's simple. It has something that's unexpected in it, something that creates some suspense, that it's concrete. It has things that really appeal to the senses, that it often touches on our emotions. It involves our emotions, it becomes something, in other words, that we care about. And then finally, that often it involves a story. And those are things that characterize something that does tend to stick. And when we think of things that are memorable, often it does involve one or more, or maybe all of those things. And it occurred to us as we were listening to it as Dominicans that a lot of these things we find right in the Bible. You know, Jesus, when he wanted to teach, so often used parables, in other words, stories. Even in the book, it mentioned the story of the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we hear that story about a man who was going down the road from Jericho and was overtaken by robbers and beaten half to death, and then we hear the story about three people who approach him. One is a priest, one is a Levite, but unexpectedly they pass him by. But then the Samaritan, the least expected person, one of the enemies of the Jews, in fact, goes and helps him and, mm-hmm. and is very generous to him. And there's something that makes that story stick. It's very concrete. You know, we think about him putting him over the donkey. We think about him dressing his wounds. It's emotional. We care about this man who was beaten. It's unexpected, because after all, a Samaritan is the last person. One of the Jewish people would expect to help them. It's simple enough to remember, and it's a story.
Right. In the whole Old Testament, it's the same thing. You know, and many times the stories get us emotionally involved, as you point out. I mean, I think Genesis 22, the testing of Abraham, is one of the most difficult passages in the Bible for people to read, you know, because what is God thinking by, you know, putting Abraham through all that and then not requiring the sacrifice, it seems. And so you get, I know a lot of people have gotten upset about Kierkegaard, the philosopher, I think has an extended series of meditations on this particular passage in the scriptures. And it has all these marks. You know, it's an engaging story. There are twists that one does not expect. You know, and I do think sometimes, for the preacher, we still have to provide details that aren't in the scripture, you know, specifically, but would be basic knowledge to people who were living in the time. You know, so I like that, for instance, why is the story of Abraham important? Well, because that's where the temple is going to be built. You know, and the rock where he, and a lot of people think that the rock that he was to sacrifice Abraham on, built where he built the altar, is in fact the ark, is the rock that sticks up from the pavement in the Dome of the Rock, you know, on the Temple Mount to this day, you know, that it's important because it prophesies Christ, you know, that the spiritual meaning of the passage shows the son, Isaac, obedient to his father's will, carrying up the wood of his sacrifice upon his shoulders up to the place, to the, what are Moriah, the mountains of Moriah, or the hills of Jerusalem, you know. And, you know, when Isaac, the sinner, is rescued from death by the word of the angel, the victim that takes his place, you know, the ram, comes to its doom with its head wreathed in thorns.
Right.
You know, a prophecy of our Lord's own, you know, taking of I shouldn't say taking our place, but of our, his, the sacrifice that makes peace between heaven and earth. That is a sign of the peace between of heaven and earth that he has worked.
Right. And it's, it can be sort of unexpected to see all those connections, you know, between stories that when you first read them seem, sound like they have almost nothing to do with each other. But as you start to show that, it starts to fit together like a puzzle, and there's something very satisfying and memorable about showing people those connections.
Especially if you tell the whole story. You know, one of the things that bothers me occasionally about the way we recite Bible stories is we recite what's appropriate to the kids, and the stuff that isn't, that is part of the story, we don't. We don't talk about the we don't talk about, you know, I mean, Noah's sin after the trip in the ark, for instance, you know, his drunkenness and his the carrying on of the curse of sin into the new supposedly sinless world, you know. And I think that is sort of an important part if you're going to understand that if the whole ark, if Noah's story is about not is not just about God rescuing somebody, but also the idea that it's not sufficient. It's not enough that we get God simply get rid of the sinners, that even the just have the sparkings to sin alive in their hearts. We need something much more profound, and that will be Jesus Christ.
Right. So for someone who wants to teach the faith to someone else, like a parent, you know, teaching their child, or a volunteer catechist, you know, teaching a CCD class or a, or a religion class, what are some ways that they could make a sticky lesson, something that sticks in their students' minds?
Well, one way, of course, is with the scriptures to tell us, as we, we said, tell the stories correctly. I think there's two other kinds of stories that are useful here, and that is the lives of the saints. You know, especially if you focus on the moments of crisis for them. By crisis, I mean the Greek sense of a choice that God presents them one way or another. Because this always goes back, I mean, this goes back to the fundamental choice that you have moment to moment of living in pride or living in humility, the first of the capital sins, or that sin which is the death of pride. you know, doing what the Lord's will moment to moment, which is the life of saints.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly – so how the saints reacted. So not just stories of wonderful miracles. We don't need plaster saints. What we need is those stories that especially point to those moments when they were – they engaged the will of God, where they chose the path of goodness and humility. Mm-hmm. Saint Hubert of Liège, you know, who goes hunting on Good Friday, you know, when everybody else is in church venerating the cross, he's out there chasing the deer. Mm-hmm. He's doing it in a particularly reckless manner because in these days, the 600s, he's doing it on a horseback with a spear and dogs. I mean, he's riding breakneck through a forest, which is a very dangerous kind of mm-hmm. thing to do. And as he closes on the deer he's chasing, the deer turns and he sees the cross of Christ between its horns, this same cross that he refused to see in church that day of Good Friday,
mm-hmm.
you know. And a voice thunders in his mind, if you continue this way, Hubert, you will be surely lost.
Mm.
And that's the beginning of his conversion. He gets down off the horse, makes a prayer to God, and then seeks out the local bishop, the first bishop of Liège. This is when Christianity was still a new thing in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And becomes his disciple and eventually becomes his successor.
Wow.
You know, but it's these moments that are memorable. He's, of course, right. patron saint of deer hunters, you know. But
right.
But this is
yeah, but it's member, you know, but yes, it's a story from the life of the saint, especially a conversion moment
yes.
in the life of the saint. It's very memorable, it's very concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It has unexpected elements in it, especially and when we can relate it to our life. So if we're trying to help another person appropriate something
that's right.
in the faith, often why not find yeah. a story yeah. that illustrates it?
You know, Saint Augustine hearing, you know, the child's voice in the street, you know, as he stands looking at a book of scriptures, take up and read.
Mm-hmm.
You can multiply the circumstances. And then I would say witness stories from one's own life.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. the lives of persons you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. About how they're – I have my own version of the story of the Agag, of the ancestry of Haman, you know, the Agagite, you know. Mm-hmm.
Explain to our listeners and myself, remind us who Haman the Agagite is.
Okay, Haman the Agagite is the person who tries in the book of Esther, tries to put the entire Jewish people to death in a single day.
Right.
Okay, and nearly does it.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly does it. But he's the descendant of Agag, the king of the Amorites,
mm-hmm.
whom King Saul was supposed to kill on sight and did not.
Mm.
And because he didn't, the Jewish rabbis say he was able to have progeny.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of Saul's failure to carry out the ban against Agag that you have the whole Jewish nation threatened.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, so my story is my grandfather was a cabinet maker and in the early 1900s could not find work in Kerry, Ireland and had to go up to the North Belfast. And he found, we're not sure whether he passed as a Protestant or found a job in a Catholic shop that wasn't normally hired, but to work on these ocean liners. And they did such a good job that the company said, we'll pay for your passage to the New World. You know, if you want, you can emigrate. A lot of you Irish are emigrating. If you want to do, we'll pay it free. And my grandfather said he would not do that because of the blasphemy written on the prow of the ship. Neither God nor man can sink this ship. It happened to be the Titanic.
Wow.
If he had gone over, he almost certainly would have died, wow. and I would not be here.
Wow. Wow, that's a great
story. So that's how piety
story. Yeah.
actually has extremely practical effects.
Interesting. Wow.
But I think these stories are sticky. They help you remember them.
They're
passed out of my family, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a couple ways to do it. But engages you. It's has an unexpected twist.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, when I first realized, oh, my heavens, if he wasn't like that, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
That was very important to me.
Right.
Important to me.
Oh, yeah. Memorable, too. Now, you said you also have a story about a Kit Kat.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be – that's sort of a – you know, because I'm a wandering preacher. So, I mean, I've got a lot of these arrows in my quiver. So stories you can tell several different ways. I mean, the same story, but it'll teach you a bunch of things. So this is a story of my a friend of mine who worked in Boston as a medical office manager. But anyway, she's having a quick morning. She decides to eat on the way. She goes into one of these breakfast places where you get donuts and pastry and eggs if you want it. And they usually have a bar up there. It's like a diner arrangement. And anyway, as she comes in, she passes the cash register, and there's a whole bunch of sweets there. One of them is Kit Kat bars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know these are little chocolate bars with wafer in them and so forth. So mm-hmm. they come in four sections. So she picks up one, and then she goes, and she's a coffee aficionado. You know, you have to you're really not awake if you really love coffee until you actually take that drink. And so she takes a cup of coffee. Her coffee arrives, and she sniffs it first, and then she tastes it, and then the caffeine kicks in, and everything becomes in clear focus on all her senses. And as this does, she hears a familiar crinkling, and there's this guy sitting next to him who is opening the Kit Kat bar. And she's shocked. Now she doesn't know what to say. I mean, who steals other people's food in this day and age? So he puts it down, orders a donut and coffee, and she pulls back the Kit Kat bar. She breaks off another piece, claiming a property, and eats that, you know, and puts it down and sort of glares at the guy, you know, my Kit Kat bar. And then the guy looks over at her and reaches gently over and pulls the Kit Kat bar back to him and takes the third piece. At this point, my friend's Irish is up. And so she stands up. The guy's donut and coffee arrive. She picks up his donut, takes a big bite out of it, throws it down, throws her money out, and walks straight out of the diner. And as she's getting her car, I'm wondering, what kind of crazy people are in here? She finds, while looking for her keys, her Kit Kat bar. So, friends, so anger blinds. Fear silences. You can only imagine what this other guy is thinking. You know, what kind of crazy people are they letting out here? She looked like a normal woman until, she got crazy with the Kit Kat bar. And so you can take a story like this, and actually there are several lessons to be learned from it. One of them is, as I said, the silence that anger creates. You know, people aren't dealing with each other when they're mastered by emotion like this. So, for instance, if one person had said, "Hey, isn't that my Kit Kat bar?" Well, mm-hmm. they might have had a good laugh about it,
Right.
And even have a friendship and so forth. All this gone because nobody said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody spoke. Nobody made a connection.
Right.
They just saw each other as enemies, as threats, mm-hmm. and acted accordingly over a Kit Kat bar.
Right.
And the devil just laughs, But but as I said, this kind of a story, I think, is memorable. This came up a couple of days ago. We have a new man I haven't seen in years and years assigned to the house. And he was able to tell me the story that I told 30 years ago when he heard it.
He still remembered it.
He still remembered it after 30 years. And I've had other people remember that, the particular story.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, they are useful, and you can draw ideas from them. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a lively half hour of discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. I'm joining the student in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing how to make sticky ideas in the communication, make ideas stick in the communication of our faith.
Right, right. And one of the best ways is through stories. Jesus used stories, he used parables, he used mm-hmm. examples of things that are very concrete, things that really involve our hearts, things that are in some ways very simple, but in the same way, very profound. And I think one of the challenges is, we can think of memorable stories, but sometimes when we preach or tell a story, people just remember the story. You know,
right, yeah.
They may not necessarily remember the point we were trying to make with it. Now, sometimes you're lucky enough and kind of the story is the point.
Right.
You know, and a lot of in the gospel parables, that's exactly what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't tell the story of the Good Samaritan and miss the point mm-hmm. because that is the point.
Right.
It's right there. And sometimes I think in preaching it, at least, you know, you preach something and you think you made one point. And other people get something else out of it, you know, mm-hmm. that maybe, but often it's good. It's still a good point. It might just not be your point that you right. were trying to get across.
Preaching, I think, is a grace moment. And mm-hmm. interesting things do happen. Like, as you say, people hearing what seems to be a completely different sermon than when you actually preached. And thanks be to God, they got what they needed.
Right. One of my favorite examples of that, one of our priests tells the story on himself that he was visiting a parish and had was helping with the masses there. And sometime later, he came back, some months later, and a man came up to him after mm-hmm. the mass when he was greeting people and said, "Father, when you were here last, your homily changed my life. Thank you." And then this priest made a mistake. He said, "Well, what was it about my homily that changed your life?" Mm-hmm. And the man said, "Well, you were kind of going on about something I didn't quite understand. And then you said, now, that's the end of the first part. Now it's time to turn the page." And I thought to myself, that's it. I'm the end of one part of my life, and I need to turn over the page. I need to make a new beginning. I need to start. And he was serious.
Oh, yeah.
He was serious. Yeah. So that's all he remembered was that right. one transition. But, you know, so yes, preaching is a great moment. The Holy yeah. Spirit can act through things we don't expect. But I think it is good when we're trying to present a concept to someone, a truth to someone, to try to look for ways in which we might explain it that mm-hmm. that connects, so that the story we're telling, or the example we're giving, or the image we're communicating connects as closely as possible to the message.
I think there are other ways to be sticky too. For instance, mm-hmm. one thing we didn't talk about that you find in the scriptures all the time is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that and different poetic forms, things that are memorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the Latin, you know, of the scripture, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ego sum via et veritas et vita."
Mm.
You know, it's got a beautiful ring to it in the mm-hmm. Latin. You know, it doesn't have that in the original Greek, which is interestingly enough. Thank St. Jerome for this. But, you know, even in when you look at Proverbs or Sirach, you know, you've got, you know, like the mashal form in Hebrew where you almost repeat the same idea, but not quite the same thing. Sometimes there's a movement of ideas mm-hmm. Through the passage you're reading, but it's by these couplets, you mm-hmm. know. And I think it makes it memorable, you know.
Right.
And the same way when you're talking, when you give like the Ciceronian triple hammer blow, you know, 3 points. I mean, this is like Churchill's. I have nothing to offer, but as it's remembered. Blood, sweat, and tears. He actually didn't say that. It was a slightly different one, but that's how it's remembered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that popular imagination has shaped his quote to be something similar, but something much easier to remember than the longer version he had.
Right. Now, what would you do, Father Hayes, if you had to communicate something that is relatively abstract, like the Trinity? How would you, if you're teaching someone who's not a theologian, not a seminarian, you know, you want to tell them the Trinity. How would you
metaphor is useful. I mean, and we have everything from St. Patrick's Shamrock, mm-hmm. which is not the happiest version of it, to St. Augustine's, you know, the mind coming to know itself and loving itself. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, giving us the procession of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I think finding sometimes a juxtaposition of the limits. For instance, if we were talking about the limits of theological language, that theological language about God is analogy. You know,
right.
We can't possibly completely fit our intellectual arms around the uncreated, which is going to be bigger than any idea we have. I mean, we have this like St. Augustine had the child who was trying to put the sea into a bucket. And mm-hmm. turns out to be an angel who says, "You think you're going to figure out the Trinity?" You know, you can make a simile to other things that people use for. For instance, is light a particle or a wave? It exhibits both behaviors, mm-hmm. but it's in fact neither. It is light.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is itself. And sort of getting to an idea that way mm-hmm. is a possibility, I think, for something that's abstract. We're not going to get our minds around it completely. However, this is where we're going, and this is especially with the, this is the language that I'm about to give you that the Holy Spirit has given the church, you know, mm-hmm. you know, with three divine persons in one God who has a single act of being,
right,
and so forth.
Right, but, and every every analogy and metaphor is going to limp in some way, but yes, we always learn. We can only get to those abstract higher truths by means of
something
of
more concrete
and
yeah.
simple.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that, I think that helps to open things up.
Yes. One of my favorite images for the Trinity was J.R.R. Tolkien in his book, The Silmarillion, starts out mm-hmm. with, it's a fantasy book, but it's about the creation of Middle Earth. Mm-hmm. And you have God, or so named in that book, has a different name, mm-hmm. but singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels are watching, and the song, they later realize, becomes creation.
Right.
You know, so that idea of, mm-hmm. if you think of the Father as the origin, you know, of all things, mm-hmm. you know, that the song itself is itself real, you know, and if you think of the Son as the song, that beautiful, and then the breath by which the song comes forth is the Holy Spirit. Again, that has its limits, but
right.
But things like that can
be sticky ideas.
Can be sticky ideas and help teach the faith.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott. Let's end now in prayer. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed.
Amen.
St. Dominic, pray for us.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.